This is a podcast from Patriots.com.
Check it out. This is the sweetest thing I've ever done.
For information on this or any other Patriots podcast, visit Patriots.com.
Wow. And all this time, I thought Googling yourself meant the other thing.
Now, the writers of Patriots Football Weekly and Lori Baranski.
Welcome back to another Patriots.com roster report podcast here at Gillette Stadium. It's Friday, and that means we're going to break down some of the moves the Patriots went through this week. And this is a week where we actually have moves to talk about, Paul.
Just you and I could talk forever today.
You could always talk forever. The Patriots re-signed defensive lineman Rashad Moore, who was, of course, around during training camp. Mm-hmm. Brings a little depth to the line after Mike Wright went down to injury. And they also released a pair of players in the secondary, a couple guys who have actually played significant action at times over the year. Rashad Baker and Eddie Jackson, no longer with us. With the two guys going out and just Moore coming in, leaves an open roster spot, which is sort of interesting at this time of the year when usually you're scrambling, health is an issue. They're just sitting there with 52 players on the active roster. So how do you think that plays out with the open roster spot? What's the issue there? And does Moore play, or is he just truly a body?
I think probably more likely, at least initially, Moore is probably just a body, but I think potentially he could get into some sort of rotation. I think that he might be a better candidate to be a backup nose than Lee Kevin-Smith right. is, and I think that might be the impetus of why that move was made. But your second question, which I think is a little bit more interesting here, what they're doing with that roster spot, I got to think, Andy, they're worried about tight end and the health there, and they're going to wait the week, see what happens with Watson, see what happens with Kyle Brady. If those two guys are ready to go and maybe they can make it through, then maybe they sign someone else. But if they can't, maybe they need to sign, another tight end. Maybe it's Marcellus Rivers, who's been, here and gone several times during the course of the year, to go with Mr. Spock there, who I didn't realize played with Logan Mankins, by the way, in college. I didn't make that connection until I read some stuff with this Pro Bowl stuff that came out. But obviously depth at tight end is an issue.
Yeah, and Spock obviously went from being out on the street to playing significant snaps.
Played about 30
when Brady
snaps,
went down.
Yeah, according to Reese's blog. So that's a lot of action for a guy who just came off the street on Tuesday.
No question. And Bill said he was helped out by the familiarity he had with the offense from Fresno State. I guess there are a lot of carryover from what Pat Hill does out there. I'm sure, particularly in the blocking schemes, and that's, Spock obviously did a lot of blocking. Pat Hill has the history with Belichick in Cleveland, kind of setting up his offensive line development program. So I'm sure there's some carryover there in terms of blocking schemes, terminology, and things that probably helped him out. But Bill also said, there was times where Tom Brady was just sort of telling Spock what to do in the huddle and on the field, in some of that game. And that's kind of funny to think about because
you think of it like high school.
This high-tech NFL world where everything is down to the exact minute, inch, second, everything, and you're kind of just telling a guy what to do out on the field.
Yeah, so. And that is funny because you think of that as high school.
Right.
Like when the backup comes in, he's not always sure what he's doing. But we even saw it at times, Lawrence Maroney wasn't on the same page with some of the calls and the audibles, mm-hmm. I think, that Tom was making during the game. There was a couple of times that he said he didn't hear the checks and didn't do the right thing. And there was another time that Bill said that when he turned around, he took the ball away from Maroney intentionally because he thought that the play wouldn't work.
Right.
And Bill actually said that was the right decision. But, it's a funny situation when you have NFL players on the field and not necessarily sure what their assignments are.
And then just the final on Moore, obviously, he's at 6'3", 325, so very much a Vince Wilfork type build
there. I liked
him
in training camp, and I remember talking to you one of the preseason games about him. I don't pretend to know all the techniques and all the job descriptions and stuff, but just from watching, any layman can see for a nose tackle where you end up.
Right.
Are you holding the point of attack? Are you occupying blockers, or are you getting pushed back? And if you're getting pushed back, obviously that's not a good thing. He didn't get pushed back very often. Now, he also didn't play against frontline players very often in the summer. But I thought that he had the size and looked like he had some technique that lent itself to play nose tackle. And I also think, like I said earlier, Lee Kevin-Smith is a guy I thought had a really strong summer, but I'm not sure that he fits. Mike Wright
seems kind of be a tweener.
Yeah, Mike Wright wasn't a perfect fit inside either, but he had a little bit more experience playing, so mm-hmm. I think he got away with it. I don't think that necessarily they want to put Lee Kevin Smith in that role so should something happen to Vince Wilfork.
And I think you could see more in the coming weeks, you know, the back end of a blowout. I've talked a little bit about Wilfork and, you know, taking all these double teams and the things he goes through. You know, if you can, he's a guy I'd like to see rested. Everybody points towards Brady and Moss and some of the skill guys. I think a guy like Vince Wilfork who takes a pounding might be a guy who, if you give him a quarter off, well, that's a quarter where he doesn't have a guard and a center hitting him every single play. And if you're up 40 points, is Rashad Moore really going to be the difference between you winning and losing? No way. They're not going to run the ball right over the nose, you know, 100 yards every single play. So he's a guy maybe we'll see at that backup nose tackle spot over the next 2 weeks.
I wouldn't think that that would be completely out of the question.
And another roster we should talk about is the 2008 Pro Bowl roster, which will include 8 Patriots selected for the squad, tying the most ever in franchise history, 1985, with that whole class with John Hanna and a few others back then.
Andre Tippett, Steve Nelson, Brian Holloway.
Yeah, Brian Holloway. Good thing you snuck his name in there. I would have never picked that one out of a lineup. The 8 guys are Tom Brady, not a shock, very much a lock, I would say. Dan Copen, maybe a little bit of a surprise there. He gets his first berth. Matt Light going 2 years in a row. Logan Mankins gets his first berth there in Hawaii. Randy Moss, again, sort of a lock, obvious. Asante Samuel, another guy who's probably is now opposite Champ Bailey in the Pro Bowl, and that's probably where he should be because he's up there with Bailey in terms of the best corners in football. Mike Vrabel, doing a nice job on the outside, finally getting a little recognition. And the guy we were just talking about, Vince Wilfork, earning his first trip to Hawaii. So, you know, those are the 8 guys that are going. The talk around here was some of the guys maybe who weren't. Wes Welker was a guy that was atop that list. Some fans threw out there Ty Warren's name. What were your thoughts on the Pro Bowl getting the 8 guys?
I think 8 is solid. I think that's an indication of how good your team is. And Wilfork talked about that. When you have the success the Patriots have had, you play a lot of primetime games. People around the league get to see you. It's rewarding. He called it very rewarding. Now, I don't think there was a guy that was any happier to have made it. They were all happy. They all expressed a lot of gratitude. But I think Wilfork in particular, he went through a lot in the offseason with his wife, trying to get his weight, starting to get his weight in check a little bit. So I think it was very very satisfying for him. Welker, I think, had a Pro Bowl season. I think he had a good enough year to go to the Pro Bowl. I just have a hard time making a case for him over any of the 4 wide receivers that went.
There's probably 6 or 7 in the AFC that you can make an argument
for.
So.
Yeah, there's always guys. You know, Chad Johnson didn't go either. He's a guy that generally goes. Marvin Harrison was hurt all year. He's a guy that always goes. So there was some openings, and I'm sure that there was some disappointment for Welker. He admitted he was disappointed.
Right.
Like I said, I think he had a Pro Bowl caliber year, but again, I don't necessarily think that any of the 4 that went shouldn't have. And I'm not really sure who else. Now, I think that there'll end up being 2 or 3 other Patriots that go to the Pro Bowl because there's always going to be alternates and injury fill-ins and whatnot, and when they're going to look to the best teams first.
Mm-hmm.
That's generally what happens. They're going to end up with double figures, if you ask me.
The guy you mentioned, you know, being 14-0, and Bill talked about that yesterday, that helps get you some guys in. I think there's a clear spot for that is the offensive line, where you end up with 3 offensive linemen.
First time ever for the Patriots.
I just think that is the perfect example. It's a position where, you know, even opposing corners, when they're voting, they don't know who the best offensive linemen necessarily in the National Football League are, and they say, well, the Patriots got a good offense. Brady's been throwing the ball a ton. He doesn't get sacked much. I hear Mankins being talked about. I'm going to vote for him. Or I hear Copen, you know, people rave about it. So I think that's one of those positions is the offensive line where even football players don't necessarily know who the best offensive linemen in football are, and that gets you a little swell there of votes.
Yeah, they have just, you know, quickly, I know we have to wrap this up, but statistically they have thrown the ball more than every team in the league except for Cincinnati. And they've only been sacked 17 times, which is the same as Cincinnati. They're 2nd in the league in sacks allowed per pass play. So that's pretty good.
That gets you to Hawaii, and it did for those 3 guys. Before we go, we'll just quickly go over the injury report, as we always do each and every week here on the podcast. Guys who did not practice as of Thursday, Kyle Brady, foot. So you mentioned some of the concern, what's going on at tight end.
Right.
Rodney Harrison and Adalys Thomas, team decision, which we've come to sort of learn means they're a little nicked up, but they're older, and they're probably going to play. That's basically how it's played out for the most part. And Billy Yates, with a foot injury, also did not practice. A couple guys were limited. Stephen Neal, the shoulder, which has been an ongoing issue. Ben Watson, the ankle, which cost him last week's game, but he did have limited participation. And as always, full participation, Tom Brady, right shoulder. For the Dolphins, Channing Crowder, Jason Taylor, and Keith Traylor did not participate. Obviously, we talked Jason Taylor was on crutches earlier in the week. If you can take him out of the Dolphins mix, that really makes them a not very dangerous football team. Limited participation, Jesse Chapman, the running back who came in against the Patriots, had some good yards. Joey Porter, the loudmouth linebacker who's, you know, just not having a great year down there. And Matt Roth, defensive end with a groin injury, who a couple years ago was had a great game as everybody. You know, Jason Taylor had the big day, but pretty much everybody on that defensive line was getting into the backfield. He was one of those guys. And tackle L.J. Shelton with an ankle injury participated fully. So that's the injury status. Patriots doing relatively well still injury-wise. They made the moves in Eddie Jackson and Rashad Baker gone from the secondary. Rashad Moore back on the defensive line. One open roster spot. We'll see how that plays out. Generally, Bill likes to fill that by game day, even if it's a guy from the practice squad getting a pat on the back and a thanks for working out. Here's a game check. So keep an eye on that heading into the game this Sunday against the Miami Dolphins here at Gillette Stadium. And we will be back next Friday with another Roster Report podcast. And we'll tell you what we got for Christmas.
For the holidays, you can't beat home, sweet home.
Thank you for this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.
I met a man who lives in Tennessee.